many people who at the arrival of spring do a thorough cleaning of areas around their home, taking the opportunity to focus on areas that would normally be ignored. But have you ever considered whether we need to do the same thing spiritually? Welcome to A Walk in the Word, where we bring you the Sunday sermons from Providence Baptist Church Gaston's worship services. In this week's sermon, Pastor John Friedrich explores areas of our lives we need to look into in order to do just that. Let's join in as Pastor Friedrich preaches a message entitled Spring Cleaning from Philippians chapter 4.
All right, well, it's good to be in the Lord's house once again with you guys this morning as we open up His Word and take a walk through it, see what He has to say. As we said, we're going to be in Philippians 4 this morning. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the focus I want to look at this morning, the hearts to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come to Your house once again to praise You, to worship You, to just uplift You in every way. You are truly so deserving of such a thing, Lord, and more, all, and even more, Lord. And now as we prepare to walk through Your Word, we just ask You to help us to have our hearts and minds ready and prepared and open and just to take it all in, Lord, just to take it and have it take root in our lives. That as we leave here today, those words might take root and we might bear fruit that glorifies You in every way. And Lord, I'm not worthy to be the one to stand here and present Your Word. I just ask that You take me and use me as an instrument. Empty me of anything that could in any way interfere with the message, pride, selfishness, distraction, whatever it might be. Lord, just take it all away and fill me with Your Spirit that I might only speak the words that You've laid upon my heart. And Lord, as a church, help us to continue to seek Your direction in everything that we do. Help us to have patience in the decisions that are to be made and the plan to unfold before us, that we might always be in the center of Your will. As individuals, Lord, let us see the need of the plan of salvation to spread throughout the world, spread out our communities, throughout our churches, or throughout our schools and workplaces. And Lord, just help us to be bold in our proclamation of truth and our willingness to stand for what is right, even when it's unpopular. And Lord, we thank You and we ask that You forgive us of our sins. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The common theme, I know we just come out of spring, but there's a common theme that occurs during spring with many families, actually, that they do something that's called spring cleaning. And that's they'll go through their houses and areas that aren't typically cleaned, areas that are typically kind of ignored for the most part, for the better part of the year, are suddenly given focus. And there's kind of a deep cleaning that is done throughout the house. Organization and neatness are kind of the order of the day. And while these things are all well and good, we need to ask ourselves a question. We take the time to take stock of what in our lives, from a physical sense, need cleaning in our homes, in our cars, perhaps even in our offices. But when was the last time we took stock of what needed cleaning in our spiritual life? Now, some might be thinking to themselves, well, why would I need to do that, right? I'm here at church. I'm coming. I'm listening to the preacher, I'm singing the songs of Zion and worshiping the Lord and everything. I'm doing okay, right? Well, while these things may be true, the influence of evil and sin in our lives is one that doesn't generally happen in a very obvious or even quick manner. The effects of those things in our lives are often very slow, they're very methodical, and they're very quiet. And just as we suddenly notice sometimes in our lives how our houses have become cluttered, they've become dirty or messy in need of cleaning, we need to utilize discernment in our spiritual lives as well to determine when spiritually we need the very same thing to happen. There's something very important that we all need to understand too, regardless of our spiritual maturity, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, regardless of your even perhaps your position within the church, nobody is above the influence of outside factors. None of us are immune to the influence of the world because we are naturally bent towards rebellion. It is in our instincts to rebel against that which is right. And any influence, however subtle, can potentially cause us to go astray. It can cause us to stumble. It could cause us to disobey in places where we wouldn't normally. And the more ingrained we allow these influences to become, the more that we allow their prevalence in our lives, the more impact they will have and the harder it'll be to take care of them in the long run. You know, it's a dangerous thing to think, I'm not part of that group. I'm not immune, or I'm not susceptible to all of these influences of the world. I'm pretty good spiritually, right? And before we think that we're not significant enough for Satan or his fallen angels to pursue with worldly or ungodly influences, let's remember the description that is given this angel of deceit. Remember, the Bible calls him a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care of your rank, your stature, or anything else. His goal is to destroy you one way or the other. Now, we look at the world we live in today. We are literally inundated with worldly influences every single day. In fact, and so much so that there is really no way for us to avoid them completely. You know, we live in a world that as long as it is, this is true that we actually live here, we are going to be subjected to these worldly influences. But to a great extent, we can control most of what we are exposed to. But it requires us to once again take stock, to recognize, to have discernment, to know what areas of our life we need to clean up. What are we doing with our time? What are we listening to? What are we watching? And we've got to be honest with ourselves about it. It's easy for us to kind of brush it aside and say, well, that's not so bad. We need to be looking at it from a prayerful, humble, and discerning standpoint. We've got to be willing to admit that we have allowed some influences to creep into our lives. And it's all too easy to say, I've got nothing to worry about. But the reality is we do. All of us, without exception. I see it all the time in others, and I catch myself being influenced even at times. So as we begin this morning to kind of explore the ways we need to do our spiritual spring cleaning, I want each of us to kind of humbly ask God within ourselves what we may be allowing in. As we identify different areas, take stock of your life. Take stock of the influences that you've allowed to come into your life. Admit that it is possible to allow influences in your life that don't need to be there. And ask God to give you clarity where this might be happening. And the first area I'm going to call food for thought. Now, this is perhaps one of the most overlooked areas of our lives when it comes to allowing ungodly influences in. Because it involves some of the most common exposures in our lives. The things that we expose ourselves to oftentimes without really even giving it a second thought. Music, TV, movies, reading material, and not the least of which, the internet. Now, in our world today, electronic media has become so common that it is almost a 24-hour-a-day influence. We can drive down the road in our cars. We can listen to music. We can listen to podcasts. We can watch TV and the internet pretty much anywhere we are. We have screens everywhere that in an instant can give us access to any kind of entertainment or any kind of information that we might want. In fact, if you're an adult here today, it's very quite possible that you've got a screen in your pocket by which you could access just about anything you wanted in a moment's notice. You could surf the web. You can listen to music, watch TV, watch the movie. And we're consuming this stuff at an alarming rate. The New York Times report several years ago reported a study indicating the average American, get this, the average American was consuming over 8 hours of screen time a day. 8 hours. Staring at some form of a screen, TV, computer, phone. And while for many that may include time at work, looking at working on your computer, just as many it doesn't. And that doesn't include whatever audio inputs we're exposing ourselves to. Things that we just listen to. That's an enormous amount of time that we are bathing our senses in what? What is it that we are spending that kind of time immersing ourselves in? Exposing ourselves to? Well, only you can answer that for yourself. But it's an absolutely critical question we have got to ask ourselves. Now, I know I've discussed this point before, but let's dive a little deeper into it. I know it might be somewhat unrealistic of me to stand up here and say that no one is to listen to anything other than Christian music and podcasts, or watch movies only produced by Christian movie makers, and only watch religious channels. Well, the truth of the matter is, for one, there's no guarantees that the label Christian means anything anymore. So simply stating Christian is a dangerous road to go down. We have to have the spiritual discernment to be able to know whether this input, this material, this program, or whatever it is we're watching or listening to, is it aligning with what God would be happy with? And the other side of it is, yes, there is a good bit of non-Christian content out there that is harmless. In large part, we must be constantly discerning about this part of our lives. We've got to constantly be asking ourselves, and this is kind of a good question to ask. It seems simplistic and almost childlike, but ask yourself this question. Would I be watching this if Christ was sitting right next to me? Simple enough. Would I be listening to this if Christ had the other earbud in his ear? Ask yourself that question. And I got a sneaking suspicion that sometimes asking ourselves that question would make us cringe and think, oh, no, I don't think I would want him hearing that. Or, oh, no, I don't think I would be sitting here watching this with him. But the reality is, if you wouldn't feel comfortable with him seeing what you're seeing, then you probably don't need to be watching it. If you don't feel comfortable with him hearing what you're hearing, then you probably don't need to be listening to it. We know the influence that various aspects of these things can have on our own behaviors. And if you have a propensity towards using foul language, then perhaps the music you're listening to is influencing that. If you have a propensity towards looking at certain things you shouldn't, then perhaps what you're watching has an influence on that. You see, spiritual discernment and dead downright to the core honesty is critical in these cases. We can't take this mindset of, well, I can just kind of look the other way for a moment and this doesn't bother. I'm sorry, if you expose yourself to it, you're not immune to it. It's important to know our weaknesses. Every one of us in this room today has a weakness when it comes to sin. We have certain sins that we have a bent towards that we tend to gravitate to. Those are the things we need to be particularly on guard about. And know what not to expose ourselves to. We need to start by staying away from the things that we're most vulnerable about and then work our way from there. Now, understand it does not take much for us to get started down the road to sin. You remember Paul's words to the church at Galatia? You remember these words? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, this was a term that everybody was familiar with back then because everybody was very familiar with how bread is made. And anybody who cooks today probably has the same familiarity. Now, those of us who tend to stay out of the kitchen and stick to the grill or whatever may not be as familiar with this. But leaven is something that will make bread rise. It makes it expand. It makes it just become airy-like, right? And how much leaven do we need to put into a loaf of bread for it to go from basically flat to puffed up? Not much. And this is what Paul was referring to. He says just a little bit is all it takes, and the whole thing is messed up. It doesn't take much to influence everything. And even without a bent towards a particular behavior, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be inclined to fall into those behaviors. The biggest danger is becoming desensitized to it. Now, we may say, well, that's okay. I don't have a bent towards this particular behavior. I can watch it, and I'm not really influenced by it because I really don't follow down that road. But the problem that with that is you become desensitized to that particular sin. The more we expose ourselves to something, the less it bothers us. Sin should bother us. If you hear the Lord's name taken in vain, does it just kind of go in one ear and out the other, or does it make you cringe? It is astounding, but yet it speaks to the state of the morality of our society today. When we hear certain places where certain cuss words are bleeped out, yet the name of the Lord taken in vain is allowed to just go on out there like it's nothing. No effort is made to bleep that out. And the more we hear that, the less it bothers us. And we see certain things come on the screen that shouldn't be there. Do we immediately change the channel, look away? But see, the thing is, over time, if we expose ourselves to these things enough, particularly by our own choice, it'll start to bother us less and less until we are effectively numb to it. And we find ourselves in a place where sin doesn't bother us anymore, then we're in a whole lot of trouble. The second area we need to look at is what I'm going to call inside our sphere of influence. And by this, what I'm referring to is an area where we are influenced by who we surround ourselves with, the people that we surround ourselves with. People are often misled by the thought that the company that they keep does not impact their lives. I want to remind everybody of something. We have a natural leaning towards rebellion. It's just instinctive in us. What's one of the first words that comes out of a child's mouth? What's one of the first words that they learn? No. Those of you with little ones, you'll find that out soon enough. But that is one of the first, usually the first word that comes out of a child's mouth, usually in rebellion to something that they were just told to do. It starts early, and it's something really, truthfully, if we're honest with ourselves, we never really grow out of that. That kind of sticks with us our entire lives. We don't like being told what to do, let's face it. Even when it comes to God. Submitting to God's leadership is a hard thing for us, and we clearly see it in some of the characters in Scripture even. Remember in Numbers chapter 16 how Korah influenced 250 Israelite men to reject the authority of God completely given to Moses and Aaron. Here they were being led through the wilderness. And even with that, they just said, well, we don't want to listen to him anymore. Our sinful nature predisposes us towards rebellion. Eve is another classic example. How easily we can be enticed to disobey God through cunning and veiled influences, casting aside the commands of God with very little prompting, actually. There are several reasons that motivate us to listen and perhaps even acknowledge these behaviors. The desire for approval. Everybody likes accolades, kudos. We lack the respect of others, the need for acceptance or association, perhaps. Will bring us to a willingness to surround ourselves with people that we really shouldn't be hanging around. We crave that endorsement because we feel like it gives us some worth. Even if the reasons we company with those who can potentially influence us are not necessarily driven by these factors, we need to be cognizant of something that Scripture teaches us. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And we need to take a little deeper dive on this. Kind of peel back the layers of the words here. If you look at a close examination, the Greek word evil here means bad or harmful. Okay? And if you do a little dive on the word communication here in the Greek, that means company or association. Okay? So taking this, or in the, one other word here I forgot about, is manners. This is the same as morals. Okay? So if you take all that together and really take a look at what it's saying here, it's telling us in this verse that we should be aware that bad company or associations in our lives will, not can, but will corrupt good morals and habits. When we hang around those that are influencing us to do other than what we should, it is going to impact us eventually. We see also in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14:7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Now, verse isn't just simply talking about someone who is not a smart individual, but rather one who knows and lives not the word of God. Once we ascertain that someone who with whom we've been associating with is ungodly in their approach to life, we need to keep our distance. Now, this is not always easy to do. This might be somebody we care a great deal about, maybe a lifelong friend. Sometimes we perhaps even have romantic feelings towards. I know we may really enjoy contact with these individuals, but we need to ask ourselves a heart-level question about the circumstances. Does this individual encourage and lift up our relationship and walk with God? Or do we find it degrading and distancing our walk with God? And this is where we get to the proverbial gut check. Is our behavior different during the time we're around them or immediately after we've been around them as a result of their influence on us? Do we find ourselves thinking more worldly or even sinfully or even acting so as a result of time spent with these individuals? Kids, are the friends you're hanging around making you more likely to disobey your parents? More likely to do something you wouldn't do normally or know that you shouldn't do because of your friendships, the people you're hanging around with? Now, these are serious considerations to look at. Now, you may be thinking at this point, "Preacher, you telling me I should just completely write off these individuals with having absolutely no contact with these individuals?" Not exactly. Perhaps our approach can be better understood by looking at Paul's advice gave to the church at Corinth. He says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or with the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." Now, this is maybe a little bit hard to follow exactly. But what Paul was addressing was the sinful behaviors of believers within the church, believe it or not. These were believers he was talking about. And he wasn't even talking about non-believers, and he was instructing them to keep their distance from them so they would not be caught up in the same behaviors. But he was also acknowledging something else. And I don't know if you caught on to it. He was saying, don't shut yourselves off from them. He says, don't shut them off entirely, because there's no way that we could influence them in this world. The thing that we remember is that we are given instructions by Jesus himself to be the salt and the light of the world, sharing the gospel with the lost, being that example of Christ-like behavior. That is a directive that we have been given. We are to shine Christ's love, shine Christ's example, emulate Christ's behavior in this world that others might see us and glorify him. Amen. This wouldn't be possible then if we isolated ourselves completely from those who exhibited these behaviors. But what we got to do is we've got to be understanding of the fact and the possibility of their influence that they could have on us. Recognize their influence and keep them at such a distance that they are not inclined to influence us, but yet be an example for them that they might follow our behaviors. Now, conversely, we need to keep in mind that the opposite is true as well, that people can be a positive influence on us. You know, I've talked about the negative influence that people can have on us, but you know what? The opposite is true too. If you surround yourselves with the right people, they can have a positive influence on you. This was a big driver in the rise of what we called accountability groups back in the 90s. You surrounded yourself with godly men and women that you could confide in, that confess to, that would encourage you to do that which is right. Now, the Bible speaks pretty clearly of the influence of godly people can have on one another in Proverbs 27:17. I love this verse. It's classic. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Surround yourself with godly influences. Iron sharpeneth iron. And it will encourage you to become more Christ-like, not less Christ-like. Now to summarize, let's once again consider the advice of Proverbs. Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." This is not talking about worldly knowledge. This is talking about godly influence and knowledge. So keep this in mind. Understand and recognize and act on the knowledge that surrounding ourselves with those who would influence us to sin or compromise in our beliefs is not the best choice. And although we do not shut them out entirely, they need to be kept at a distance, enough so that they do not influence or change our behaviors. And before we sit there and say, "Well, that's okay, I'm a very mature Christian, I'm strong in my faith, I won't be influenced." Remember, Eve was living in a perfect world. She had everything she needed. She walked with God. You don't get more spiritually identified with Christ, with the Lord, than that. And yet she was able to be influenced to completely rebel against him. Another thing we got to remember in all of this, I'm going to call it keeping things neat and tidy. You know, the spring cleaning idea has been around, I don't know for how long. But you've got to wonder something. Wouldn't it be easier just to kind of keep up with it throughout the year? Wouldn't it be easier just to not have this sudden mission to clean all these areas in one sitting and rather just kind of space it out throughout the year? Just kind of pace yourself. Well, the same thing goes for spiritual cleaning. If we keep ourselves in a position to address these things periodically throughout the year, then it'll be much easier to keep up with. If we wait and then suddenly take stock one day, "Oh my goodness, how much have I been influenced? How much has my walk with God degraded? How much has my relationship been interfered with?" Possessing the discernment to accomplish this is a necessity in all of this. And we can't just assume that we're going to suddenly wake up one day and say, "I need to take stock of my spiritual relationship." We might get reminded of it, perhaps in the sermon of today. But the reality is we need to be always on guard. We need to always be analyzing and evaluating our situation. We've got to work to allow ourselves to develop and maintain the ability to detect these influences as they creep into our lives, not after they creep into our lives. We've got to be willing to be determined to stand alert and be aware and don't get caught off guard. But what is the best way to do this? To stay in God's Word. Pray for the discernment to see when these attacks are made. We need to bury the Word of God so deep in our minds and constantly refresh it that it is always there ready to help us. You know, Paul in Romans talks about the renewing of our minds. You would think, okay, well, we can study the Word, make it even memorize Scripture, book to book, or cover to cover. And we're good, right? No, Paul used the term renewing because he understood this was an ongoing process that we have to constantly deal with the battle that we are in with the world. The world's not going to let up. It's not like Satan's going to say, whoa, he knows a lot of Scripture, I'm going to leave him alone and walk away from you. In fact, you become a target the more you walk with God. He wants to drag you down. He wants to pull you away. We need to commune with God. Give him time to speak to us, reveal to us the areas of our life perhaps that we need to address. And we need to ask him to do so. See, the key is to show God we are sincere about our desire to keep our distance from worldly behaviors. Dedicate a part of your day to study of the Word and God in prayer to God. But what do we do when we aren't doing this? I mean, obviously, we can't spend our entire days in God's Word. We have jobs. We have other obligations. Well, we can protect ourselves there as well. We can memorize Scripture that we can recall it when we need to. We can spend time in prayer when we recognize the attacks, even if it's just a very quick moment in time. We can meditate on the things we've read in God's Word in our minds. And in doing so, we actually become more and more like the salt and light of the earth that Jesus spoke of. We become a beacon of hope in a hopeless world, sharing the love of God and the salvation of Christ. But that's only if you know Jesus Christ. You see, the problem, what we've been talking about with today, is these tools are available only if you have a relationship with Christ. If you have no relationship with Christ, you are completely and utterly vulnerable. You have no defense. You are positively influenced on every level without any real mechanism of fighting it off. You see, the battles never stop. The battle goes on and on and on throughout our lives, but the reality is that we don't fight the battle alone if we belong to Christ. He has promised to stand with us in this fight. He has promised to give us our strength that we need to resist in this fight. Even when we do not contain the strength ourselves, he has said, I am there to be your strength. I am there to be your fight. And we can resist anything the world has to throw at us. But once again, without Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope in the fight, and you have no hope for eternity. Because even though we sin before our salvation, we sin after our salvation. The sin problem never goes away. And the Scripture is clear regarding this sin that puts us in opposition to God. A holy and righteous God cannot abide in the presence of sin. It's that simple. And why do we think that we would be allowed into heaven because we're good most of the time when we have this other side of sin to deal with? But that's where Christ came in. Christ said, I'll deal with that sin. I will take the punishment. I will deal with God's wrath. I will become sin that you might have reconciliation to God. And it's not left to us, because that's a very good thing. Left to us, we would have no hope at all. Understand, you have no ability to reconcile yourself to God outside of Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. If you'll confess your sins before God, recognize that, God, I come to you with empty hands. I've got nothing to offer, nothing to negate my rebellion against you. And you'll embrace the work of the cross, the work that Jesus Christ did to bring about the ability to have that relationship. Then you too can be saved. Because you know what? It's not about religion. Anybody can practice religion. There's all kinds of religions in the world. Even Christianity is a religion. What matters is a relationship. Remember what it says in Matthew when Christ talked about the day of judgment. He made the comment, there'll be lots of folks that come to him and say, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? You can almost picture them saying, Lord, didn't you see all the time I spent working at the church? Lord, didn't you see all the time I spent mowing the church lawn? Lord, did you not see the fact that I was a deacon or even a pastor perhaps? Lord, did you not see all the people that I talked to? That I prayed for? And Christ says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Harsh words. Words that you think would be reserved for those that just openly rejected him outright. But the key comes in what he says after that. He says, for I never knew you. It doesn't matter what we do we know him? Do we have a relationship with him? Have we embraced the work of the cross, acknowledging that is what we need to get right with God? Not of our own righteousness, but of his righteousness. So I ask you today, are you counting on your works, good works? Or do you have a relationship? Does Jesus Christ know you? Let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne once again, Lord, we thank you for these words that we've heard today. We thank you for the reminder that we are in a constant state of battle with the world that we live in. We live in a world, Lord, we know that we just have to constantly be on guard with. A world that constantly seeks to drag us down, constantly seeks to just bring us under their influence. And Lord, we beg of you to give us the strength, the discernment to stand against that, to seek out the things in our lives that take us away from you, that interfere with our relationship with you, that we might make it right, we might cleanse ourselves of those things, that our focus, our desires, our heart might remain with you. Lord, just help us as we do the things that we do in our day-to-day lives to keep you, always be mindful of you, to recognize the attacks. And Lord, let us just seek you and only you in all that we do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time for another Walk in God's Word. Podcasts are available in Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Music and Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, TuneIn, CastBox, Downcast, and Beyond Pod. Search for and subscribe to Providence Baptist Church --, Gaston Sermons. Until next time, may God bless you as we await his joyful return.
Hi, this is John Friedrich, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. It's my prayer that our time together has helped you grow in your walk with God, or maybe He's even used it to guide you to discover the wonderful gift of salvation. If you're ever in our area, we would love for you to come worship with us. Our address is Providence Baptist Church, 977 Meadowfield Road, Gaston, South Carolina, 29053. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through our website at www.providencembcgaston.com or email us at providencembcgaston@gmail.com. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to you joining us next time as we take a walk in the Word.